Over 40 years ago, in my first seminary class in Kansas City, Kansas, on the first day, before we even got to know each other, we were asked by Dr. Fred Young, a distinguished professor of the Hebrew Scriptures, a question. And Dr. Young is like so many, I think, of the finest educators. He was humble beyond belief, and as a result, he could lure we young seminarians into theological traps without us knowing. And once we were caught and captured, he did not shame us. He gently, I like to think, pried open our eyes to the possibilities that we could exercise the next time we wandered into dangerous territory. The first day, the first question that he posed, and I quote, "Is Christianity primarily about individual salvation, or is it primarily about social salvation?" End quote. I remember his question as I thought about it this last week when Paul Ryan fired Father Patrick J. Conroy, the first Jesuit chaplain of the U.S. House of Representatives. Father Ryan is also the first House chaplain ever to have been fired, and as of the end of this week, I understand that maybe he was rehired. Conroy was nominated for the position back in 2011 by then Speaker of the House John Boehner, who spent years staunchly being anti-marijuana, and as you probably have read, he's now the head of a major marijuana corporation. While Conroy was not given a reason for being asked to resign, he did note that a prayer he offered in November, as Congress was debating the new tax bill, caused a surprising response from the Speaker's office. His prayer included the following, and I quote, "May all members of Congress be mindful that the institutions and structures of our great nation guarantee the opportunities that have allowed some to achieve great success, while others continue to struggle. May their efforts these days guarantee that there are not winners and losers under the new tax laws, but benefits balanced and shared by all Americans," end quote. The following week, someone from the Speaker's office chastised Father Conroy, saying, and I quote, "We are upset with this prayer. You're getting too political," end quote. Obviously, he doesn't stand in this pulpit. Not too long after that reprimand, Ryan told Father Conroy directly, "Padre, you just got to learn to stay out of politics," end quote. And Conroy countered, "That's what I've tried to do for 7 years. It doesn't sound political to me." And yet this prayer was the first time anyone from the Speaker's office had ever accused him of being too political. So what's going on? At its core, what this controversy highlights is an ongoing divide in our country over what it means to be Christian. This is not a struggle between Catholicism and Protestantism. Ryan and Conroy are both Catholics. But a struggle between an understanding of faith as a private affair focused on what? Personal piety and salvation, and faith as a community endeavor focused on promoting the common good for all. As a lifelong liberal Baptist, I look for candidates for public office who are also concerned about addressing poverty, racism, social exclusion, violence against women and minorities, including sexual minorities, and other social problems that ravage our communities. And I really don't care what religion or sect my candidates give their allegiance to, if any allegiance at all. I can live comfortably with atheists and agnostics who are concerned with the social realities of exclusion that are my priorities. As a Christian ethicist, which we all are, I believe that all people of faith bring our faith commitments and beliefs to the public square. When we debate public policy and legislation, and that we should bring our ethics, we should bring our faith to the public square. The faith communities that we hold, the faith commitments that we hold naturally shape how we think about economic and social policy. My faith as a progressive Christian is rooted in the social gospel tradition of Jesus, standing up for the poor and the marginalized, and the Hebrew prophet's insistence that the community care for the poor, the widow, the orphan, the stranger, those who are most marginal in our society. Jesus never said, and I've hunted, never said to the lame, you know, you just need to rise up and you need to go get a job. Or to the poor, you know, if only you worked harder, you could care for your family. I don't think Jesus ever said those words. Jesus recognized that the structures of his society were unjust. He also recognized the vagaries of life and the circumstances of ill health, untimely death, a lost job, or other tragedies that are just part of life. When he said, "The poor you always have with you," John 12:8, it was not an invitation to accept the reality of poverty as an inevitable fact of life. Rather, I think it was an assessment of the injustice that is inherent in human societies, and a challenge to us to do better, a challenge to us to do what Deuteronomy 15 calls us to do, and I quote, "If there is among you anyone in need, a member of your community in any of your towns within the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your needy neighbor. You should rather open your hand, willingly lending enough to meet the need, whatever it might be, since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth. I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and the needy neighbor in your land," end quote. This is not going to go on long, but in the contemporary United States, we have structured an economy that creates poverty, an economy that impoverishes people. This is not the fault of our welfare policy or our social safety nets. Our dependency on a capitalistic economic model to solve poverty cannot and will not work, because capitalism is designed to generate profits for the owners of capital, not to eliminate poverty. This is not rhetoric, it's just a fact. In the U.S., the wages of workers who fall into the bottom half of earners have dropped their share of income from roughly 20% of the total from 1962 to 1980 to 12.5% last year. While the top 1% doubled their share of income to over 20%. This is not about relative levels of wealth distribution. It's about absolute poverty. It's about the ability of working people just to pay their bills with wages and salaries that meet the standard of a living wage. One recent study found that only 25% of jobs in this country fall into the category of good jobs. 25%. When that is defined as paying at least $32,000 a year, offering health care and pension benefits. Father Conroy's prayer was a reminder to me of the heavy burden that our legislators bear to create public policies that promote the common good, policies whose benefits are shared broadly across society, policies that do not disproportionately benefit the wealthy at the expense of the poor. In a country with an economy that fails to offer working people jobs that allow them to cover the cost of their expenses, a prayer reminding legislators that all Americans should benefit from their policies is not only warranted, it is morally admirable. In my brain, it is possible to hold two beliefs concurrently. It's easiest when they are complementary. And I believe that for me, faith is about individually coming to accept the saving grace of God that we have discovered in following the way of Jesus of Nazareth, which means bringing always bringing it into the social fabric of the society and world in which we live. And for Jesus, we are always about, I think, opening our hands, filled with so much that we have, to the poor and the needy of our world. I got to think this is most likely the Word of God for the people of God.